Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, June the 15th, 2012. Guess what? Today is the official start of the monsoon. You wouldn't know it looking at the beautiful clear blue skies, so we'll really have to wait at least a week or so before we actually get some of those thunderstorms that we love here in the summer. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at the radio station KVOI.com. Also, you have three places where you can get this program posted and heard anytime, anywhere: buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Joining me to question the Ward 6 Republican, Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle is here. He is editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a question or comment for the councilman, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more on the website SplendidoTucson.com. Let's join and welcome now Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman, to the Buckmaster Show. Steve, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are y'all?
We're doing real well. Yesterday, we had former Mayor Bob Walk up here on the Buckmaster Show, and he says it is his understanding that the FBI report on Rio Nuevo will show no criminal wrongdoing. Is that your understanding?
Well, I don't know how he would have an understanding as to what an FBI report is going to show that hasn't been released yet. I mean, I certainly am not skulking around the halls of the FBI, but I will tell you this. Senate President Pierce put an op-ed out in the Sunday Star last week. I sent him a note on Sunday night because in the second-to-last paragraph of his op-ed, he put out what I consider to be two potential poison pills for the success of this new board. One of them was that the members are supposed to have to report back to him within 6 months regarding the audit as to where the money's been spent. My point to him was that, first of all, there is an audit that's being commissioned by the same firm that's in litigation against the city. This will be the second in the series of two by that same firm. The first one they just issued without checking with the city, is fact-checking with the city, and we had to rebut it. So we have no confidence at all in the neutrality or objectivity of that audit. But the second thing I pointed out to him was that, Mr. Pierce, if you would like to try and leverage out into the public eye the FBI investigation that, Bill, you're talking about, we are all in favor of that. This council and mayor have voted unanimously multiple times, make the FBI investigation public. Everybody's got a right to see it. So that is the neutral report that we're waiting to see. But as to whether or not I have any clue as to what's in it, I mean, my gosh, you know, they're not checking in with me on what they're finding. And if I might, the second point that Pierce made in his op-ed was that he gave the board another 6 months to develop a plan for the future of this relationship moving forward. I pointed out to him that the city in Rio Nuevo are bound by statute right now to spend TIF money on nothing but a convention center hotel and the TCC. So if he is serious about wanting to see this relationship move forward, it's incumbent on the state legislature to tweak that legislation to allow the TIF money to be spent on something other than just that.
And we'll have Steve Pierce on the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday coming up of next week. Now, here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Hi, Steve. I wanted to ask about something that was reported in the Star with the two new board members coming on the Rio Nuevo board. They were saying that, why don't we all get together, we being the Tucson City Council and the Rio Nuevo board with its new members, and have a meeting out in the open in front of everyone and get these things resolved. What do you think about that?
Sarah, I asked for that a year ago with the old board, and the result was going into mediation, and during mediation, Jody Bain driving up to Phoenix and trying to craft legislation with Al Melvin and some of the boys up there, and the legislation fell on its face. It was inappropriate. It was a violation of the spirit of the mediation. I am all in favor of it. In fact, I would go a step further, and I would say that this relationship needs a paradigm shift. Anytime we're talking about deal points and negotiating the term sheets or any of that, we ought to have it being done in the public, in front of the media, in front of the people who are paying the bills, the taxpayers, and no more behind closed doors meetings with these groups. Now, that's not to say that the city council or the Rio Nuevo board can't deliberate on their own in private, of course. You know, we'll reserve the right to talk amongst ourselves. But when we're negotiating with taxpayers' dollars at stake, we have got to get beyond the point where these two groups are hiding behind closed doors and cutting deals and then are prevented from going out into the public and talking about them publicly because the deals were made under the umbrella of executive session or mediation. So I'm 100% in favor of it and have been for a long time.
Here's Jimmy Bogle now, The Weekly, Steve.
Hey, Steve. There have been a lot of conspiracy theories going around since Steve Pearce made the decision to sack Ricanell and Jody Bain about this audit that's out there or the FBI report. The Rio Nuevo board was about to come out with these damning charges and they were going to be able to release things, and this is all an effort to quiet that up. And I know Frank Antinori and Al Melvin have been making some rumbling about that. What do you say to these people who insist that there's some horrible report out there that, as a result of Steve Pearce's actions, won't be released?
I'll bring the reports out. You know, Antinori and Melvin just need to get a clue that we have been asking for these reports for over a year. At the FBI, you know, Steve Pearce, if he hasn't got control over when the FBI, for God's sakes, is going to release a report. If he does, then tell him to release it. We've been asking for that and asking for that. Conspiracy theories, you know, I'm suspecting that the same people who are crying that are probably feeling the CIA was behind the bombing of the Twin Towers or the second shooter on the grassy knoll. You know, that's just foolishness. We've been asking for these reports for well over a year. Melvin, on the one hand, has been hiding up in Phoenix writing legislation that was going to be harmful to the city. Antinori, along with Melvin and Ted Vogt and Gowan and Williams and Proud, wrote a letter to the Rio Nuevo board the day before we were supposed to be agreeing on term sheets, telling the old board not to do it. So if these guys are truly concerned about transparency and accountability and everything being done above boards, then they might want to stop writing letters secretly and crafting legislation secretly. And let's all stand side by side, read the reports when they come out together. No one on the city council has been asking for those reports to be quashed. We want them made public.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Councilman Kasacek, we would love to hear from you right now. How about your reaction to Ron Barber winning? The Republicans had criticized you, Councilman, for not getting in line and getting behind Jesse Kelly.
Well, Ron Barber has been invested in this community for well over two decades. Jesse Kelly is probably back on a plane flying back to his dad's construction company in Texas right about now, still licking his wounds. Ron Barber deserved the support of this community. It wasn't even close, and my sense is that unless and until the Republican Party understands that they're not going to be successful in running fringe candidates, that they will continue to fail to win the crossover votes, they will continue to fail to win the independent votes, and Ron demonstrated that, and they ran a campaign that stressed listening to multiple voices, crafting good public policy legislation that approximates the middle where it's appropriate, and you know he's going to continue to win my support.
Here's Jimmy Bogle before we go to Richard on the Buckmaster Show live line.
I was just about to ask that: is your endorsement of him going to carry over to CD2, or are you going to look at Martha McSally?
Well, I looked at Martha McSally during the primaries, and I guess I'm still waiting for someone to point out to me a dime's worth of difference between any of the three major candidates that were in the primaries. I didn't see any.
All right, now let's go to Richard. You're with Councilman Kasacek. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Steve, thanks for all your hard work. Wanted to say as an outside observer on this who lives here, that is there any chance we can finally get the bathrooms working at the TCC? I mean, after all these jumping through all these rings of fire, all this legalities, can we just possibly get the toilets working?
Listen, this is, you know, that's not even a tongue-in-cheek question. That is for real. Here's what happened. The council passed a resolution that we were going to put $1 million into the bleachers. We did that, and then two weeks later, the Rio Nuevo board came into the mediation session and said that if the city council would do the bleachers, then they would put up to $1 million in the bathrooms, but they wouldn't do the ADA, the disability requirements. They changed some of the language with respect to the nature of the bleachers. They put in some wording that said that this was to constitute what they called a, quote, notice to proceed. That is kind of in the weeds language that reverts back to the Garfield Traub Hotel, so that they were prevented from spending money on anything but the hotel and convention center until there was, quote, a notice to proceed. So, again, this is back to the Jody Bain board, where we're moving forward on the bleachers anyway. In fact, we've already issued the proposals out on the street. We're going to do the bleachers. They have had bond money ready to spend since 2008, $80 million in various projects. And the TCC, the Auditor General, said that is the primary component. A part of that bond package is spending money on the TCC. They have got it to spend. They have had it to spend. They let that bond package lapse in November of last year. That was, again, the Jody Bain board. Now what the current board has to figure out is how can they get their trustee to allow them to spend that money on projects that were approved back in 2008.
Okay, Councilman Steve Kasacek, we have part two with Councilman Steve K coming up as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. This is Friday Focus.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
No 19 minutes now past the hour. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on Friday Focus. We always bring in a newsmaker. Today's newsmaker is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Councilman Steve Kasacek, Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here from The Star, and Jimmy Bogle from The Weekly. So let's let Sarah have a question right now.
I wanted to ask about TRIO and the presentation that Joe Snell, who's head of TRIO, gave to the council, and sort of something that Josh Brodesky, the Star's Metro columnist, touched on, which was the pretty much lack of critical questions of him. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I actually was, Tara. Let me kind of walk through it real quickly. The TRIO board is made up of a lot of very impressive private sector representatives in this community. I mean, people who are successful in their own rights. They would expect out of their own employees an accountability for a return on investment, a demonstrable return on investment. TRIO is taking public funds. The members of this board should expect no less scrutiny from the public sector entities, the City of Tucson and Pima County, and to the surrounding jurisdictions as well, than what they would expect from their own employees. And I've already gotten calls from some of the members of the board. You know, who am I to even raise the issue as to whether or not they should have to account to us? Well, quite frankly, there are some deliverables in their most recent agreement that speak to the numbers of jobs that they're supposed to create. When the City of Tucson taxpayers are funding them for $400,000 and the combined region is over $1 million, you're darn right they should be accountable. And that's not a slam on them in terms of their own personal self-worth or their own personal worth as an agency, but when the guy who's running that is making literally 10 times what the average wage earner in this community is making, I think it's incumbent on them to step up to the plate and say, we didn't just take trips and make brochures and make contacts and get shortlisted. We created jobs. And here they are. Here's what they pay. Here's the payroll. And here is specifically what TRIO's role was in bringing those jobs to the community. Now, their contract is coming due again before the end of the fiscal year, and I certainly hope that the level of scrutiny that the rest of the council gives is a little less, and Josh's word was fawning, and I loved the word, a little less fawning than what it seemed to be last Tuesday.
Here's Jimmy Bogle now.
I have to ask about the streetcar construction because it's one of the most visible signs that the city is doing something. We reported this week that one of the first businesses is actually citing the streetcar construction as a reason for their demise, a little oxygen and tea shop off of 4th Avenue saying that we couldn't survive this and they closed up shop. What is the city doing, especially since a good chunk of the streetcar construction areas in your district? What is the city doing, and what are you doing to make sure that these businesses make it through what is going to be a very tough summer?
Yeah, well over a year ago, we started meeting with these groups, the businesses and also the neighborhoods around, to try and mitigate the impacts. The City of Tucson Department of Transportation is continuing to meet. In fact, I don't even know what day it is anymore, but about a week ago, we had a meeting with some of the 4th Avenue merchants at the Ward 6 office to talk about specifically this. How can we expedite the construction? My message to TDOT was, if you have to double up shifts and perhaps inconvenience the campus community and double those shifts up on 4th Avenue and Congress, then do that, because the university might be inconvenienced, but the merchants are suffering financially. So, you know, that's what we're doing. We're encouraging them to double shifts and work quicker on the areas where it's directly impacting the private sector and these small businesses.
Have you seen any evidence that that's actually happening?
Yeah, I have, and in fact, they're moving fence lines in, and the fact is that I've also heard some of the businesses down there are saying, you know, we're opening up now in anticipation of the streetcar. So, you know, I understand it's an inconvenience, and frankly, this is the same group that just suffered through the prolonged 4th Avenue underpass construction. You know, so they're right back at it again, and I'm absolutely sympathetic and empathetic with what they're going through, and am on the phone weekly, daily, sometimes multiple times, with the people running that project, saying, get this thing going, move it.
Steve Kasachek is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to jump in here with a question, 790-2040, 790-2040. The City Council decided on Tuesday to ask the City Attorney to draft a code of conduct to govern the behavior of the mayor and council members. This stems from Paul Cunningham dust-up. And Sarah here from the Arizona Daily Star, I think you wrote this, right?
I did, Sarah? Indeed.
Wrote this editorial, the City Conduct Code will not head off bad behavior. Your reaction?
Well, it's, you know, if somebody's inclined to go on a drunken spree, then someone's going to be so inclined. In fact, let me make 2 points, because I said that, and Paul's situation, Paul has owned up to what is a treatable medical disease. He has got an alcohol issue that he's dealing with right now. And I would hope that this community and his colleagues and his family and the people who know him come alongside him and support him as he works his way through it. Fact of the matter, though, is that this mayor and council are unaccountable to one another in terms of our own behavior, and we represent the public. And so I agree with Sarah that just censuring somebody on its face may have, well, would certainly have no or little tangible effect immediately, but it is certainly someone's going to have to run with on their resume in the next election. And, you know, I would hope that that at least it constitutes a piece of leverage, professional leverage around the council table that we hold ourselves accountable. Right now, the only thing that can happen by charter is that the mayor can fine us like $50 if we act out at a council meeting. And, you know, that's certainly we should be held to the same standard, if not higher, than the rest of the public.
I was wondering, though, the Paul Cunningham situation aside, given the extenuating circumstances with his admitted drinking problem, but is there behavioral issues among the other council members that we're unaware of that would rise to the level of needing a code of conduct?
I think this is more an issue of sending a message to other city employees. The short answer is I'm not aware of any. But the bigger answer is, I think this is more an issue of sending a message to other city employees that you have an avenue to hold us accountable. The reality is that oftentimes city employees may feel a bit intimidated filing a charge or filing a complaint against somebody who may have some leverage over them, and I think that that's inappropriate. And to that extent, I think that this code of conduct is a good thing. You know, they have right now. The situation is that somebody would have to file a civil action, and that may feel intimidating to people to have to really go public and do that. And now they have another avenue.
Jimmy Bogle.
Some of the Paul Cunningham and your Democratic colleagues on the city council have actually gone as far as hinting that maybe Paul should step down, that maybe he can't serve his constituents very well right now while he's going through this. Earlier you talked about standing behind Paul and helping him get the help. But what do you say to the people who imply that maybe he shouldn't be on the city council right now while he's going through this?
Well, I'm not taking that position. I would hope that we as a society have come far enough to recognize that millions and millions of people have come out of the closet and accepted the fact that they have a treatable medical problem when it comes to alcoholism. And to the extent that Paul is owning that, more power to him. Now, the ball is in his court. You know, he will either own it or it will own him. That's for him to take ownership of now. That's the third time I said that word in the same sentence. But we, I think that, you know, we need to come alongside him and support him and work through this. If he treats it, if he deals with it, as Jeff Rogers said on Arizona Illustrated about a week ago, he will be even a better council member than he was before.
Am I missing something about the medians? Are they actually cleaning them up? Maybe
yeah.
It's just different areas that I'm not seeing it done.
Nope, we've got a work plan in place, and we're working with a private sector firm in tandem with TDOT, and we're spending a significant amount of cash on that, and it's a 6-month process, and we're about a third of the way through it now.
So you're seeing some progress?
Yeah, we're not hallucinating. It's really happening.
Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, gang.
Okay, Steve Kasachek with us on The Buckmaster Show, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here, and Jimmy Bogle, and it's that's one of the issues, Sarah, that I wanted to discuss on the Reporters Roundtable about your editorial, but I guess we've pretty much covered that at this point, huh?
I think so, unless Jimmy has something to add.
We'll find out after the break now.
We will. We're coming up now on the break on the Buckmaster Show. We've got the Reporters Roundtable coming up. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says his plan to stop deporting younger, law-abiding illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children will make the system more fair, more efficient, and more just. He's doing it without the consent of Congress. That troubles some Republican lawmakers. The government has quietly released a heavily censored list of serious allegations made against Secret Service agents and officers since 2004. Police in Buffalo, New York, say they have found the body of a man who apparently died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's believed to be the body of a Special Forces soldier turned trauma surgeon. Authorities had been searching for Dr. Timothy Jordan after the shooting death of his ex-girlfriend at the hospital where they both worked. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. $12 12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, where we have local journalists kind enough to sit in to talk about the week's top stories, and there's usually never a shortage of news, and certainly not this week. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a comment or question, our live line is 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistosa in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Jimmy and Sarah, as I say, there's never a shortage of things to talk about, and certainly not this week, where we have a special election that we have been pointing to for many weeks. It's finally over. Jimmy Bogle, Jesse Kelly, saying that's it. He's not going to go for a third term, a third run.
Yeah, you know, when you're 0-2 in a district that has a 6-point Republican advantage, you really got to pack it up. And I also think that this campaign especially really exposed, frankly, how terrible Jesse Kelly is as a candidate. I mean, if you're going to run for office, you've got to be willing to answer tough questions, talk to the media, and, you know, get your positions out there. Whereas in this election, it was so weird. Jesse Kelly would refuse to do any in-depth interviews. He would refuse to answer basic questions, and it led to some very awkward moments where someone would be asking him a direct question and he'd be giving his sound bites. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Green, whatever, you've got to be actually willing to campaign and express where you are. And I think that that was one of the reasons why he ended up losing so badly, is a lot of people who probably would have sympathized with his positions if they could figure out what they were, realized that they didn't want this guy.
Yeah, he's very selective in the media that he did talk to. I know that he did not talk with your organization, the Tucson Weekly. He did not want to talk with the Arizona Daily Star. And when he did talk, it did sound like it was this canned, rehearsed soundbite, Sarah.
Yeah, he declined to come in to do an editorial board interview when we were doing our endorsement interviews. And it was when we offered the opportunity to both candidates to answer questions put forth by the editorial board, you know, basic kind of questions, Ron Barber gave thoughtful, detailed responses, and Jesse Kelly either didn't respond, or in one of them, it was around graduation time, and so the question was, you know, what is your advice to graduates this year? And Ron, you know, said something thoughtful, be involved in your community, things like that. And Jesse Kelly's response was, and I may be misquoting him, but if you want a job, vote Republican. And that just really set people on edge about him, because he didn't answer the question, and it just came off as really sort of crass and bumper stickerish. So I think it's the kind of thing where he did not put himself in situations where he would have to answer any question, much less a difficult question. And I think people really noticed that.
And now retired Air Force Colonel Martha McSally becomes the front runner.
Exactly. And I think that based on what little we saw of Martha, she got into the race relatively late, but did very well, actually beat Jesse Kelly at ballots cast on Election Day during the Republican primary. From what we saw from her in the primary, I think she's going to give Barber a run for the money just because she is a good candidate. Unlike Jesse Kelly, she's got good credentials. You can't argue with, you know, her military credentials and the amazing battles she fought, you know, in the courts and everything. She is going to be, if what we saw is an indication, a very formidable candidate. And I think Republicans should be breathing a big sigh of relief that Jesse Kelly got out, because primaries are a very weird animal. They tend to be low turnout. You tend to get the more extreme folks. And the fact that you're going, you know, Republicans are going to have a formidable, experienced candidate who actually seems so far willing to answer questions in the general election, I think it's going to be a close race, even though it's going to be pretty much evenly split now between Republicans and Democrats, and that Republican advantage goes away. But hey, the Republicans actually have a real candidate now.
I think it's a good matchup. And Sarah, I think win or lose on either of these candidates, I think the public here is going to be served.
Well, I think that one thing about Martha McSally is that she, you know, she has a quick wit. She's approachable. She's a lot more dynamic as a speaker, I think. than Jesse Kelly was, because with Jesse, you just got the idea that he had his talking points. He had been to media training, and he was sticking with what he was told to say. But with Martha McSally, I think you have someone who's a lot more dynamic just as a personality, and that it will be interesting to see how that matches up with either Ron Barber or Matt Hines, who is the Democratic challenger to Ron in the Democratic primary.
Well, that was nice and cordial of you to throw Matt Hines' name in there. Matt Hines, I love Matt. Dude has no chance. I don't even know what he's still doing in this race. So just say Ron Barber. Don't say Matt Hines.
Is he thinking of getting out, or is he sticking with it?
He's sticking with it so far. He's come out, said full bore. He's running no ifs, ands, or buts. And I just don't get it. He's not going to have the money. He's not going to have the support. And he's going to look bad among Democratic circles because he's going to be taking on what is now an incumbent. And that's just stupid.
And Martha McSally will have an opponent. We've actually had him here on the program. Mark Cosacamini, I think I might have mispronounced his name. He's a political newcomer, and he works in the Pima County Procurement Department. I always think it's good for all the candidates to have a little competition, don't you, Sarah?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think the more that people have to engage with each other and with voters and explain what their positions are and why they think the way they do and be able to, you know, defend what they're bringing to the table, I think it's beneficial to the race and ultimately to the constituents.
Absolutely.
And I like this pretty much seamless transition now that's going on with Ron Barber using a lot of Gabrielle Giffords' staff, some very good staff in that office.
Well, it was very
including Mark Kimball, our friend.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very interesting from a media perspective because once Gabrielle Giffords stepped down, the office still existed. The office of CD8 still existed, but you didn't hear anything because there was no candidate to be voting, no positions. It was very interesting to see the first release, new media release this week from Mark Kimball.
Yeah, it was good to see that.
Because it shows that this congressional office is coming back to life. It was always there, but it was kind of lying dormant because there was no candidate, there were no positions to take. Now there is, and it's good to see CD8 having representation again.
And is it your understanding Ron will be sworn in, I guess, pretty much right away?
I think it's
Monday
June 20th.
Tuesday, perhaps Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday is what I'd heard.
Which is, I think at one point he said that's his 45th wedding anniversary.
Oh, really?
He did tell me when Giffords dropped off her vote, her ballot at St. Cyril's Church on Tuesday, that the only other time he'd been in the church hall was when he got married 45 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Donna is up next with us on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I thought that was very disrespectful to say Matt Hines has no chance, he should get out. What is he thinking? Well, he's been a legislator. He's been a very well-respected legislator. And Ron Barber never did pass any legislation or introduce any. He worked in her office. I'm not saying he doesn't have any qualifications, but so he's an incumbent in a race that he had promised he would be a placeholder, and then he changed his mind. I think Matt Hines has every right and reason to run.
Absolutely. I think he has every right and reason to run. But let's be frank in terms of talking about who has a chance of getting elected, in terms of name recognition and in terms of money, Matt is just goofing off. I mean, I'm glad he's in the race. I think it's going to be good to bring out these discussions.
And he's a friend of yours.
Yeah, well, he's a good guy. Let's call a spade a spade. He's not going to beat Ron Barber in this primary. He's just not going to.
And I also need to point out that Ron never said he was going to be a placeholder. He announced for the initial finishing out the term and then didn't say anything about
there was
his
a lot
intentions.
Of speculation, yes.
So he never said, I'm just here to keep the seat warm.
Well, Donna, thanks for the comment. And that was the opinion of Jimmy Bogle, who is making that prediction, and not Bill Buckmaster or Sarah Gard-Gasson. However, I will go so far as to say with Jimmy that Dr. Hines, Matt Hines, has an uphill battle at this point.
I would agree with that.
Big news today from Janet Napolitano, the former Arizona governor, making a big announcement concerning immigration. Which of you would like to begin to try to put that in a nutshell? Jimmy Bogle?
I think it's a great thing. Basically, to boil it down and oversimplify it a bit, basically anyone who would be eligible for the DREAM Act, which is the legislation that's come close a couple times but hasn't passed yet, which would give a path to normalization for young college students who are brought here as kids who are either going to college or going into the military. Basically, what this policy change says is that the Obama administration will no longer try to deport these people. And I think that's a big step. I mean, I have my own opinions, obviously, as we've discussed here. But, you know, I think the DREAM Act is really a no-brainer because these are kids who were brought here, had no say in being brought here, who and the DREAM Act is specifically focusing on children who would be trying to become contributing members of society, going into the military, going to school. And all this subtle policy shift is saying, well, it's not actually very subtle, it's a pretty big deal, is that the Obama administration is no longer going to try to deport these youngsters who would be eligible for the DREAM Act.
Right. Janet Napolitano spoke about this, and President Obama was speaking about it as I was coming over here. And it gives the people who are under 30 who have arrived in the country before they turn 16 and have lived in the United States for 5 years and have a no criminal record and a high school diploma the ability to apply for a two-year, quote, deferred action, which basically means they won't be deported for that, and then that can be extended. It's not as, and I'm quoting Janet Napolitano here from the New York Times. She says, this is not immunity. It is not amnesty. It is an exercise of discretion. And I think that's a very accurate description. And I think, and as the Arizona Daily Star has editorialized again and again, that the DREAM Act is long overdue because yes. without it, it punishes people who really have no say whatsoever in where they live and how they got there. And these are people who are, for all intents and purposes, you know, Americans.
Mm-hmm. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program brought to you by Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. A wide selection of oil and watercolors by some of the early Arizona painters from the early 1900s up until about 1950. Stuff I really like. I like Adobe House Antiques, 2700 North Campbell, just north of Plaza Liquors. Give a plug to Plaza Liquors as a free plug for them. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. I want to mention this Marana, the Marana Pima County ongoing the sewer wars, and Arizona Court of Appeals, Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star, decided that Marana does not have the legal authority to own or operate the Pima County sewer plant that the town seized in January. This may not be the sexiest of topics that the public is, you know, talking about over the dinner table, but it's certainly going to be something. Yeah, that's the wrong way to put it. Chuck Huckleberry is probably very happy this morning about this.
Yes, it's something that has been simmering between Marana and Pima County for a long time, and it's good to have a court decision, basically, as Bill was saying that Marana overstepped and doesn't have the ability to do that. It's, I don't think, going to be the last chapter in the ongoing feud between Marana and Pima County over who gets rights to what part of our wastewater treatment system.
But the legislature actually got involved in this too and helped Marana take it over. So it's not just a Marana versus Pima County thing. You've got the state involved as well.
Right. And it was another example of the Republican state legislature kind of meddling in extremely local affairs. And it's good, I think, that the court has ruled this way.
A couple of other big stories. Arizona voter registration law is okay for now. That from the U.S. Supreme Court. And also, speaking of court decisions, I think this has the potential to be a real blockbuster. A federal judge in Phoenix blocking state officials from interceding in a court case involving how best to ensure that the Tucson Unified School District is properly desegregated. This could have some impact on Mexican American Studies program.
Yeah, this is a case that's been going on since the 70s when the TUSD was sued because it was segregated. And it's been under federal watch for literally now for 30 plus years. And now this is basically, you know, Tom Horn tried to get involved. And of course, Tom Horn is notorious for being the person who's really pushed the fight against Mexican-American studies. And one of the parts of the whole, the original desegregation, I don't know about the original, but the most recent desegregation plan was actually that TUSD expand its offerings in terms of ethnic studies. So he was trying to get involved here and put his own two cents in. And the feds basically said, no, not going to happen.
And that goes back, Sarah, this whole thing goes back, I believe, to 1974, the original lawsuit.
Yeah, it was, it has a, I mean, if you think about it, the people who were in school then now have kids
yes.
in school, and it's still not settled. And the educational quality of across the and performance and availability and accessibility across the district is not much better than it was.
No.
And millions upon millions of dollars have been spent. So it's long time coming that TUSD needs to increase the academic performance of all of its students and increase the opportunities for kids no matter where they go to school, no matter what their interests are.
Absolutely. And I think that no matter what you think about ethnic studies, no matter what you think about Tom Horn and his crusade against it, I obviously don't like his crusade against it. But no matter what you say, if you look at just the common sense, he had no business trying to get involved in this. And
absolutely.
I think this was wise and frankly predictable that he got kind of smacked down here.
And the governor says the next governor should have a pay raise.
Yeah, so should teachers, so should cops, so should public employees.
Journalists, say journalists. So should... Say journalists.
Yeah. Final comments about the Rio Nuevo and anything Steve Kasachek said today. I mean, it looks like Rio Nuevo on the board, as far as the legislature is concerned, bottom line, on a very short leash.
Yeah, and I really hope that things improve with these two new board members. I mean, it can't get worse. Well, I don't even want to say that out loud.
Oh.
But it's the kind of thing that just – we need to have some sort of common sense, and the light bulb needs to go off and get this thing done.
Yeah, for the first time, there's a little bit of hope. A little bit of hope now.
We will leave it right there because we love a little bit of hope. 12:51. That's it for the Reporters Roundtable. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch. It's coming up next. Thanks, Sarah and Jimmy. Both of you have a great weekend.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Looking for a cool weekend getaway? We'll consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. That fire they had in the Gila Wilderness area, it's not impacting Silver City, where the air quality is still good. The mile-high elevation makes for lovely mild days and cool nights. Lots of great accommodations, including the Continental Divide RV Park. Check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. And now, without further ado, the host of Weekend Watch, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And a beloved Father's Day to fathers all across Pima County for the weekend.
Is it true that you broke out the I'm the best dad in the world t-shirt for this weekend?
That's right. If there's only one day of the year I can get away with it, it's certainly going to be Sunday, Bill.
Lots of stuff going on this weekend for Father's Day.
Indeed. You know, one of our favorite wine stores in all of Tucson, Bill, is Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room over on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell. And they're going to be hosting a special Father's Day-themed wine tasting today and tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m. Now, this tasting is going to be featuring six premium wines that Dad is really going to enjoy alongside some delicious artisan cheese, all served up in a tasting room that's reminiscent of some of the best wineries in all of the wine country. Now, Bill, this tasting is normally $10, but if you bring your dad with you, he's going to taste for free.
Wow.
Great wine for Father's Day weekend at Catavinos.
So bring the dad along, and Dad's going to get plenty of free wine. Right?
That's how it works.
Father's Day dinner, maybe a day early before Father's Day at Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Yeah, the Father's Day weekend certainly continues into Saturday, and you named it. Our pick for dinner tomorrow is one of our favorite places for steak in all of Arizona, Bob's Steak and Chop House. This is up at the Omni Tucson National Resort. Now, they're going to be featuring a three-course meal for only $39.99, and the choices are far too many for me to talk about here, Bill, but if I were going, I'd go for the wedge salad with blue cheese and bacon, the rosemary roasted prime rib, and to finish it all off, how about the Bob's carrot cake with cream cheese frosting, all for just $39.99, served up in a gorgeous steakhouse setting with these incredible views. This is one surefire way to Dad's heart, Bill.
Boy, you just mentioned a couple of my favorites. I love that lettuce wedge.
Absolutely.
And, drowned it in the blue cheese. Or actually, my favorite, if you can do that lettuce wedge, I would go, I'm a Thousand Island dressing or a Russian dressing guy.
Absolutely.
Very traditional. Beautiful. Sounds so good. And, of course, you mentioned carrot cake. I love carrot
cake. You got to do it. And no dressing on the side.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Dump the dressing on the salad.
Oh, my goodness. Tucson Originals. This is the group of Tucson owners who are homegrown folks, and they have their summer specials going on.
Yeah, special summer menus for only $20 all summer long, and our pick for this week is Tavolino Italian Restaurant, of course, over on Skyline and Campbell. Now, Bill, Chef Massimo is going to be rolling out two starter salads, a full margarita pizza, and two glasses of house wine for only $20, and that special is going to go on all summer long, as we said. Now, Tavolino himself is going to be taking Sunday off for Father's Day, so we think this would be a great treat to enjoy today. As always, all of the Tucson Originals summer specials can be found at TucsonOriginals.com. Now, Bill, I certainly hope my kids are listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show right now because I've given them all the right ideas.
Did you say margarita and pizza? No, it's a margarita pizza.
It's a margarita pizza. Now, let's just disclaim, tequila is nowhere near the making of this bad boy. It's an authentic Italian pizza made with mozzarella cheese, some basil, some fresh olive oil, and some ripe tomato. It's a beautiful vegetarian pizza that's just gorgeous.
Have a great Father's Day, Matt. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
I want to thank Splendido for supporting our Fridays here on the Buckmaster Show, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. A big shout out to Culligan Water, the bottled water of the Buckmaster Show. What makes this water special? Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. It's simply tastes better, Culligan Water. Also, the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. And the Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe Father's Day weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.